Welcome to the official podcast of the Entrepreneur Summit. These are events that teach you strategies from the experts, lessons learned from the trenches, and connections to take your business to the next level. Welcome to another episode of season three of the Entrepreneur Summit podcast. I'm your host, Erin Smith, and we are so excited to be back for our third year. Once again, we'll be in Frisco, Texas, and this year we are moving to a two-day event on June 18th and 19th. Now, what's unique about this is you can come for one day or you can come for 2 days, whatever, however you'd like to buy your ticket. We have a one-day option, a two-day option, and a VIP option that gets you into the VIP happy hour in addition to the two-day event. So you can see our entire lineup, get your tickets, use code GUEST, G-U-E-S-T, for 20% off, all over at esummitevents.com, esummitevents.com. Before we get into this episode, I want to first thank our sponsors. First, we have IKEA, and IKEA in Frisco is right next to our venue over at the convention center in Frisco, and they are, it's a beautiful facility. They're all about helping business owners with their spaces. So whether you are a solo person with your home office, they will help you redesign that entire thing. Or if you've got an office building that you need some help with design, utilize their design center because I'm telling you, they are amazing. So check them out. Of course, IKEA.com and then specifically to the Frisco one just off 121 and the tollway. We also are welcoming, once again, for the third year in a row, the Frisco EDC. Frisco is a suburb of Dallas, if you don't know about it, and is literally one of the fastest growing cities in America and has just been voted the best place to start a small business. So it kind of worked out perfectly that we launched our Entrepreneur Summit here and we continue to be here. So the Frisco Economic Development Center is an incredible organization bringing great companies here to Frisco. If you're thinking about starting a business, if you've got a business, you need a great place to build it. I'm telling you, I'm not sure there's a better place to do that than Frisco, Texas. Our other sponsor we want to thank is Salesforce. Salesforce has an incredible suite of products for small businesses. They'll be at this year's summit in addition to helping business owners learn how to utilize some of these amazing tools to streamline, set some processes in, save some time, save some money. They'll be here to help you do just that. So check them out over at salesforce.com. And again, you'll be able to meet them on June 18th and 19th at the summit. So go get your tickets now. Hurry up. esummitevents.com. Again, use code GUEST. And here is our next episode of the podcast. Hey, it's Erin Gregor.
And it's Sia Yasotornra.
And before we jump into this next episode, we have to make sure you know that you are invited to our next live Women in Tech Leadership podcast recording series. Sia, when is it?
It is September 3rd.
Yep, City Central, same time, same place. And we're going to be welcoming Dr. Dawn Owens, who is a clinical assistant professor and information systems director for IT over at UT Dallas. That's a mouthful.
At the Navon Jindal School of Management.
Okay. Too. Yes. She's the real deal. And when we've been interviewing these women, we talk a lot about STEM, a lot of talking about like how do we bring up the next generation of women? And even, you know what? How can we keep educating ourselves as women? We're in our 40s, but
I say it proudly. I'm about to enter my mid 40 landmark mark.
Yeah, I'm hanging on tight to early 40s. But anyway, this is going to be a very interesting conversation. We're going to be summer will be over. So make sure you join us for this event. Head over to innovationcalling.com to get more information. So let's jump into what we talked about at this roundtable.
Lots.
Your favorite topic.
My favorite topic, because it is very near and dear to my heart, the lack of or the complacency of Generation X. So it is an all-female roundtable. I thought it would be a little bit of a spicier type of perspective. I am sure there's going to be many more perspectives, and I think we can continue on doing a Gen X series, Erin. But let's be honest, we are ignored.
We're ignored, and we are like one of the most awesome generations ever.
Well, no, I think we're the most powerful generation right now at this moment in time, where you get baby boomers that are retiring or not retiring, depending on which article you're reading. And you have all the marketers focused on millennials, which is great, but they don't have the spend power that Gen X does.
Right.
And that's something where they forget. And also, I think with technology, we rode that wave. Yeah. So
we jump into it all on this one.
I might be a little feisty in this one, guys, but I think it's for a good cause. Gen X is the oft-forgotten generation. And, you know, every now and then we should highlight ourselves.
Exactly. So without further ado, here is our latest roundtable of our unofficial Innovation Council. Hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoyed recording it. All right. Well, welcome to another episode of Innovation Calling. I'm Erin Greger.
And I'm Sia Yasso-Tornrat.
And it's roundtable time.
Yay! Woo!
I guess let's go ahead and introduce everyone first.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and get that started. So this time around, we have a modified group, all female crew in the house.
Yeah.
All right. We got Leslie. Introduce yourself.
Hey, guys. This is Leslie Flores from Moments by Design. And so here to have some more fun, talk some really great things today. Here we're talking Gen X. Gonna have some fun.
Okay. And we've got Becca in the house. Becca, introduce yourself, please.
Hi, everyone. I'm Becca Niederkrom from WeAreDallasFortWorth.com, and I am so excited to be here with Sia and Erin to talk about my very own generation.
Exactly. So what generation is that, you guys?
Gen X.
Yes. Woohoo! We are often called the slacker generation, the middle child generation, and the sandwich generation. But are we really? Shall we ponder that, ladies? Erin, do you think we're the slacker generation?
No, I think we're really hard workers.
Agreed.
No bias here at all, right, ladies?
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, no.
As a cusping bee, I get to kind of promote both.
Exactly. So, yeah, Leslie, why are you so unique in this conversation?
So I am a cusp baby. So I'm the borderline of millennial and Generation X. So I kind of make claim to fame for both of them. You know, pick and choose what I want.
Yeah, someone wants their cake and eat it too. You know what they call you? You're the what's that one? It's a genials or what's it? It's a mix. It's the ones that they don't know. Xennials.
Xennials.
Gen
Y. You know.
What's Gen Y? Gen Y?
Gen Y ended up getting absorbed into the millennial moniker.
Oh. We didn't need our own.
Got so confusing.
Well, because, I mean, Gen X, Y, and Z is what the whole thing, but the millennial turn of the century was much more of a popular marketing term that everyone has embraced. And speaking of which, right, when you think about the generations, there's the greatest generation or silent generation, which is the wars. And then you get the boomers and then the millennials. Even a CBS article had those generations completely skipped Gen X as a demographic.
No.
Well, I think what's so interesting about Gen X is we've kind of melded into this. We are kind of forgotten because I think it's a good thing. So we've taken on the baby boomers, right? We're hard workers. We've taken on that status of we are more loyal. We work hard. We believe working hard is going to get us where we need to go, all that good stuff. However, we're also melded into the millennials. So we are digitally savvy. One of the stats I found, which was very interesting, was that 54% of Gen Xers are digitally savvy, where millennials are 56. Yep. So it's like...
research.
I don't know how many studies there are on it, but yeah, it is one of those things where, yeah. So it's one of those things where I feel like we are kind of this forgotten because we've melded in between these generations where we do the right thing still, but we're not whiny babies like millennials.
Well, you know, that's an interesting term, the right thing, right? And so Becca had tagged us on an article on LinkedIn today. So those that are in the American world, on the American-based LinkedIn, there is an article that's going on by the Harvard Business Review talking about our company's going to have a Gen X retention problem. And this premise I thought was interesting because I read another article from 2 years prior that says the opposite. So, you know, stats.
Yeah.
Stats are, you know.
I can make say whatever you want.
Exactly. Make it up and make it sound good however you want to, right? In this Harvard Business Review, they're saying that because baby boomers are retiring later in life, those senior level positions that would traditionally each generation would assume and backfill are not as available to the Gen X generation. So they're not getting the promotions like they naturally would have had the boomers retired at a, 60-ish
normal age.
Normal age or what societal deems as the normal age, right? So that's the first question is, do you guys think that as millennials are aging and they are now hitting 40s, you're going to see a lot more 40s getting into those, you know, from middle management to executive roles. Are we left out? Are we going to be the generation that's left out?
So I've been thinking a lot about this since we brought up this topic. And what's interesting to me is I feel the millennials, for the first time really ever, have gotten these playbooks that we never really had access to because of social media. I mean, there were books out there, like you'd read about the great entrepreneurs and you'd kind of figure out what they did.
There were actually books.
Yes, there were actually books that you read. But I feel like we have all this access now to how things are done, how you move up in the ranks, how you get the promotions, how you do these certain things that, you know, I know, I mean, it's one of the big books, but the Lean In, it was just so eye-opening from a woman's perspective of, wow, you could do this. So from that perspective of promotions, millennials seem to be on this cusp of that edge where they know how to ask for what they want more, where Gen Xers are still kind of in that work hard and it's going to be figured out. Obviously, we have access to the same playbooks that millennials do, but I feel like they've grown up around that a little bit more. So I think as Gen Xers, we kind of have to learn that it's now or never to take control of what we want, where millennials are used to that. So I'm interested to see now, will those promos go more to millennials or will Gen Xers step up and start being more aggressive with what they want?
Well, I'm interested in seeing how it's going to look from the standpoint of, you're right, the millennial generation has more access to the information and more access to, hey, how mentors and sponsors, where I think Gen Xers, that's one of their biggest things, is they're actually looking for outside sponsors. They're looking for outside sources, not inside their company, but people outside their company to tell them how to take that next leap. What I think is going to be really interesting, right, because I think it's the Gen Xers currently make up like 60-some-odd% of the workforce, right? And I mean, the rest is kind of split with a whole lot of millennials and some of the newer kids coming into the block now. And then you got the baby boomers that are kind of phasing out. But now you've got the area too where you've got a lot of entrepreneurs coming into play. So what's going to happen there? Is it, and I mean, again, Gen Xers are fiercely loyal. So will they stay and just kind of take it until, hey, yes, 10 years from now, the baby boomer goes out? Or, you know, and the pathway is cleared for them also too, because the millennials are jumping ship and going and starting their own stuff. Meanwhile, what's going to happen with corporate America is basically within the next 10 to 15 years, you're going to see nothing but majority Gen Xers running it because millennials left the marketplace.
See, I'm going to challenge that statement.
I mean, I'm just curious. To me, it's a conversation topic.
Yeah, no. Right. In the beginning, I think on the premise that you're saying, I think I agree with that our generation, the Gen Xers, have been very loyal or somewhat loyal, but not in the traditional baby boomer sense. I think if the company that they work for no longer provides certain levels of satisfaction, they will jump ship. We are more inclined to jump ship than the baby boomers, but not as much as the millennials. That being said, I see businesses, and I've experienced it myself, is you hit a certain range, an age point, you cost too much, the cost of healthcare is going to increase the longer you retain or stay at a corporation or a business, that they're phasing the Gen Xers out and baby boomers because millennials and the soon-to-be Gen Zs are cheaper.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of like, I hear your statement, but that's why if you look at the demographics of entrepreneurs, the Gen Xers are the bulk.
Yeah.
They're the machine of all small businesses out there, but no one talks about it.
Well, you know, the reason I feel that they're not talking about it and we're not talking about ourselves is the millennial generation has come in with the ability to create platforms with quote unquote leaders who are able to start, you know, an Instagram channel to help promote other women, ask for what you want, ask for that raise. There's Facebook groups. There's all sorts of online platforms for millennials to group together, get empowered, and ask for what they want. And Gen X, generally speaking, I haven't seen that yet. They got into these careers in corporate, and it's a very different trajectory for the Gen X. Now, that can change, and individually, we're all doing our own thing out there. But I think millennials definitely have a lot of empowerment that as Gen Xers, we don't have that same path.
Well, and even just look at the how we were raised, go get a job, go be safe, go. We still had that baby boomer mentality. That
cubicle.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about this before, but it was that we were really that first generation to start witnessing the layoffs. So it wasn't the we're safe, right? And it was, I feel like we've kind of been in this issue of, okay, My dad told, I mean, and I can speak for myself. My dad told me I should be safe. My dad told me I should get the good job. I'm making more money than my parents ever did. I've got it pretty good, right? But I'm not fulfilled. I'm not happy. I know my job is there and it looks safe, but it's not safe. So should I be, you know, where should I be? Where, to your point, millennials have been empowered to be like, follow your dreams. And I feel like even as generations go down, like, I know I won't force my kids to go to school. Just depending on what you want to do, school may not be the answer.
Well, look at the fact that even technical schools are coming back into play right
100%.
Now. 100%. You know, I mean, that was something that you really didn't see between your generation and even the millennial generation. Millennials just, you know, either... Well, a lot of us just chose to rack up a whole lot of credit debt.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, and with no return, right? I mean, exactly. Who wants to get an art history degree? And there's nothing wrong with art history degree people, but...
Yeah, you're gonna
not anymore. But what are your career? What are your career aspects, right?
Yeah.
So two things on that: 16-year-old just won the Fortnite tournament. The
yes.
kid made $3 million
yep. overnight.
Holla.
Yep. And he said, you know, the hustle has paid off.
Like the mom who is a late millennial or not millennial, a Gen Xer. The mom's a Gen Xer, and basically said, yeah, all those hours. I said, you know, Billy, stop practicing. Yeah, she's kind of eating crow at the moment, but that's. The exception. It's not.
I understand, but it is the exception, but there's a lot of opportunity now for these kids. I mean, a Fortnite tournament winner is the exception, but there's a lot of kids with esports
yep.
who are actually, and Instagrammers, YouTubers,
yeah. Yeah.
you
who
can.
YouTube was an actual career.
It's a, but people don't realize. They're like, oh, you just go, you just go post a video.
Yeah.
It's not easy. There's a lot of work to be had. There's a lot. And these kids who are doing it are making full-fledged businesses out of it. So it's just, it's interesting to me that there is all this opportunity. And I don't even know how to parent
it. It's opportunity in a different way, not in the traditional sense. So when you think of business, we think of brick and mortar,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But now we're the generation.
Yeah.
We are the generation that is had to transition and pivot. So with Becca's sharing us of that post, I made a comment that the thing about Gen X is we have the traditional values that the boomers have held, right? The stay in the job, longevity, you do it for the family, right? To... Because of our technology has grown so quickly and it's surpassed itself, it's affected culture and society today, we've been able to pivot because we are the, quote, slacker generation. Perhaps maybe that laid-back attitude is what helped us enable become that transition generation such that the millennials, they think it's status quo. They think it's the norm to have this smartwatch or even them talking about embedding things into their skin.
Yeah. Well, because it was interesting, too, because that that article that you were reading, Gen Xers actually spend like 40 more minutes a day on devices than millennials do.
On what?
On devices. Laptops, cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I'm guilty.
All of it.
Yeah.
Like,
but we use it differently.
Yeah.
Like that's where we're not taking selfies. We're actually using it to connect and learn things.
Yeah. But I think it depends a lot when we say Gen Xers that we've had to transition. I remember it was my senior year of college, the last semester, and I was a marketing major and took an internet marketing course. I said, I don't quite know. I get this internet thing. I had my Yahoo email address and surfed a little bit. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm going to take this last course and then I'll graduate. Because of my career in marketing, I could transition. But I look at family members who are Gen X, who are on the cusp of baby boomer, they're not transitioning. So I really think it depends on our career choice as well, if we're going to transition, because I have a lot of people in my family that enjoy a handshake as a way to do business, and they're not sure what Facebook is.
So I'm looking at this Inc. article, okay? And this was written back in 2016, 2017. So it's a couple years old. Title is Different Motivations for Different Generations of Workers. And this person highlights boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z. And I thought it was interesting that this author says that our values in growth opportunities in business, and I'm trying to stick to business before we switch off to social because I think that's going to be a huge topic as well. In business, we value the ability to make our own choices as well as have relationships with mentors outside of our own organization. So we reach out. But we also believe that promotion should be based on competence, not by rank, age, or seniority. Now, in light of that statement, how do you perceive that statement versus millennials, boomers, and any other previous generation?
Well, I think competence is huge, but I think what's cool about that is that you don't have to put in your time necessarily. You can think outside the box and do things. And I think when we talk about innovation, just tying it in here, innovation happens when you're not threatened by getting fired because you are thinking outside the box. So I think it's really important that we push that and push people to, you know, it's not about sitting back and once you get your 20 years in, you get up and moved up to the ranks. It's about, I hate to use working hard, but working creatively, trying new things, coming up with solving problems and coming up with solutions. And I think we are a generation where we see that potential because that's truly where change comes. And because as our parents, you were safe. You did the safe thing. You got the job. You kind of really had to screw up pretty bad in order to get fired, right?
It was always an act of Congress.
Yes, exactly. Where now it's like we are in a different situation where I believe it is about competence. And if the kid that is 10 years younger than me is working their butt off and they're doing really good things, and then they probably do deserve the promotion over me.
Well, you know, and it's funny because you bring that up, and I think the millennial side is the same thing. And I know that we kind of get the, hey, wait your turn, like calm down, you know, and I know a lot of us have a lot of ambition because of the fact that we're,
right,
you know, all pretty unicorns. But with that, I think there's a lot to that aspect too, that we come in and we are maybe a little bit more innovative than the person that's sitting in the job that's, you know, ahead of us. And I think with that, it's that, hey, yes, not the ageism, but it's the qualifications. Hey, look at where I'm taking this. And then once we get those leadership skills, then it's like, well, what can you do that I'm not able to do? What are you bringing to the table as the leader that I cannot bring to the table as well? And I think that's maybe where a lot of like the millennial kind of stuff gets a little jaded because, yeah, it's, you know, it's fast and it's furious. And I think in a lot of the areas, I think you're right, their marketing is a perfect example where you can kind of like pivot because of what it was. But in a lot of the other industries, people don't really understand it. You know, you look at finance, and finance guys are just finance guys, and they want to read the sheets, and they don't know how to use the Bloomberg terminals. They don't know how to look at all the research, like, and they're still staying up, you know, when there's an easier way. And the newer guys come in, and it's like, oh my gosh, how are they doing this in like 1/8 of my time, right? And so I think that's the problem is and I think it's like that reverse ageism, right?
Right.
It's that sometimes we're getting a little bit held back in some of these areas because it's, well, you haven't come up through the ranks yet.
And that's just the way it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm inclined to agree with that because I think everyone in this group particularly has been pushed back to some degree, though, with leadership in particular. Couldn't it be argued wisdom has such a huge impact on the ability to lead?
I think if you have a good leader, then yes. I've been behind some very bad leaders, you know?
And that's
been there, yes.
But there's something about innocently leading. And there's also something where someone's, you know, if you're going to go to battle, would you want to go with someone that has been there and has experienced those battles, or someone that's like, you know what, I've got a creative approach or battle plan, never been tested before, let's do it. I think there's some sexiness to both sides.
Well, and I could both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just because I've been behind some people who have had a lot of tenure that are horrible leaders.
Yep.
And yeah. I mean, I don't think it's fair to say that, well, you have to be a certain age or a certain point or a certain place to be a great leader. I think it can come from so many aspects, and the desire to want to lead well. I think really that's where it comes from, because if I'm, this is the way it is, I don't really give a what you think or what you want to do or what your opinion is, because this is the way it is. I think that's the downfall, where if you are open, and I'm not saying you're taking, you can't make a decision or whatever, but I think if you are listening and open and you understand you're not perfect and it's just a different mindset versus an age.
So let's switch gears, if you don't mind. So we've talked about the business aspect. Do you think, because we have the ability to pivot, because we were flexible, because we had somewhat experience with the traditional way, but also saw the opportunity that technology was going to take us in a different direction, okay? Do you think education and business in general are adapting fast enough to accommodate the acceleration of what technology has brought to our culture?
No. Simply put, no. I mean, you see it, and it's definitely, it's trying to happen, especially on the education front, right? You're bringing in, I mean, the kids today in public school have way more opportunities than I ever had. And I went to a private prep school. And I mean, these kids in public school, it's amazing what they get. So, I mean, they're definitely trying to keep up. But the problem is it's all changing at lightning speed, right? And I don't think that there is somebody, I mean, unless you start working with the corporations that are bringing all the new tech to the forefront, then education is always going to lag behind. You know, I think on the corporation side, you know, and I mean, I think you see it with the same way with, you know, our laws and everything else, right? That's why we're just starting to get into, you know, hey, how are we formulating Facebook and all the other social medias to be in charge of things? Hey, cryptocurrencies. Hey, is the SEC going to actually be doing this? You know, I mean, everybody's mad about Facebook having Libra, but at the same time, cryptocurrency is already allowing for everything that they're worried about. I mean, Libra is just another cryptocurrency. So I think we're tragically behind, but I mean, there is no way to keep up with it all because it's all going so incredibly fast. So unless you start incorporating with the change makers, like right off the bat, we're always going to lag behind. And unless we start putting together some sort of like innovation council.
Hey, look at us changing the world.
Innovation council that's going to start working with, yes, you know, maybe one that's leading up corporations, maybe one that's leading up education, maybe one that's leading up public sectors as far as, you know, hey, I mean, we talk about smart cities, but no one's really done it yet, right? You know,
I blame 5G for that. I'm just kidding. Well, ratify that.
Well, it's because it's going to fry your brain before we can do it. Just kidding.
Exactly. Exactly. Well,
if
we're
the
all
microwave hasn't fried my brain yet.
That's true.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I think that's the whole thing is innovation labs at major corporations are trying to evolve quicker, whether it's going to be organic growth or inorganic growth. I see it in the K-12 systems where they're embracing all these wonderful programs, particularly around technology on the STEM and STEAM, right? Colleges, I'm not seeing a lot of change in the curriculum. In fact, I feel it's, and I believe because each generation is actually moving away from the need to have a degree to pursue whatever career, whatever, the fact that, again, you've got these YouTubers and you've got all these social media personalities, but you also have these Fortnite, you know, esports. Does it require a, quote, bachelor's degree? I think college education is going to collapse if it does not change something in some way between the millennials down to the after Gen Z, whatever. I think that age group is going to encourage them to pursue an alternative career if it's not college.
What I think is interesting here, right, is I look at universities as businesses because that's what they are.
They are.
They're 100% businesses. And if you look at like what you just said, you're right. The K through 12th are doing a better job at adapting. But why? That's because they're generally public health sectors, you know, where people are getting to vote and actually do things versus universities. It's private funding and, you know.
Are they public?
There's some public. But I mean, at the end of the day, majority of bigger universities are.
I'm sorry,
funded.
Princessa. We didn't all go to Ivy League, okay?
I didn't go to an Ivy League.
Or a Pac-10 or Big Ten or whatever you went to.
There's other generations that are still, the baby boomers want their children, generally speaking, to go to university. Gen Xers, especially the ones on the cusp, want their children to go to universities. And then as a younger Gen Xer, if I had kids, I'm having them tune into Mike Rowe on Instagram. Listen to what Mike Rowe has to say. Go get a plumbing. I mean, if I was not scared of things in the toilet, I would have a plumbing business no time. That's where it's at. The other thing is this is a global economy. So when I go to hire for my business, I don't look at their degree. I'm hiring for a specific skill set. Mm-hmm. Who can do it? Who am I going to work well with? It doesn't matter if it says Bachelor of Science, aka BS from Florida State University. Love you, Florida State, but
don't worry. Well, one of my engineering professors used to tell me BS, which bullshit.
Shoot.
Yeah. Bullshit. Bullshit. MS, which was more shoot. And PhD was just piled higher and deeper.
I love it. And by the way, I love Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe, we love you.
God.
Mike Rowe, there's...
I love Mike Rowe.
Yeah. Love Mike Rowe. Love his message. I love...
Yeah. Mom, I love
his parents. No, I'm just kidding. But I do love him.
And it's, well, total non sequitur. But my boyfriend's like, Mike Rowe, really? I'm like, honey. Don't even.
We're like, this is a Me Too thing right now. Though,
yeah, no, so sorry.
Sorry, Mike Rowe.
No, Mike Rowe, we appreciate your writing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's a really eloquent writer.
And his singing.
And his mother.
And his mother. I know.
Mother,
oh my God.
Mother's book.
I do follow his mom. So, okay. So why don't we shift on over to the culture and society then? Gen Xers, we are at that age where, A, we're not being marketed to, which you would think we would be in our society. We've got the most spending potential because of the money that we're actually making. We make more than the millennials in the exact same jobs. Yep. But we have the baby boomers that are our older generation that we're taking care of, and we have our own children we're taking care of. So, yes, the Gen Xers are making more with our disposable income. However, it's getting more, diluted more because of our responsibilities. Do you think marketers are missing out because of that?
No, because they're targeting our money. It's just in different ways. It's either coming from our kids or our parents. Yeah. That's where the money's coming from. So, I mean,
they're not targeting you for alcohol. Well, you, they are.
Right. Yeah. See who gets the wine ads. But like, no, I mean, I don't know. Like, to your question, I don't know what I should be targeted for. Like, what should they be? What should they be advertising for me? Like, what should they be trying to get me for? I don't know.
You are such a Gen Xer to even say that, right?
Like, right.
It's like, well, yeah, I don't know.
I'm okay not being talked about. I'm like, I'm just busy doing what I love.
Exactly.
I don't fit into anyone's mold, so I'm just doing my thing. And that's what I feel as a Gen Xer I'm doing. You don't have to target me at all. Spend my money where I darn well please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like, what am I supposed to be buying right now? Not quite yet to Depends.
Well, that's funny.
Give me another week.
No, I mentioned one thing about Ambrin, and guess what? I've been getting
prescription pills. That's
Ambrin,
true.
Well, Ambrin's not prescription.
Oh,
I think
it's not?
That's, no, it's for menopause. When I heard, I made one comment on Facebook about Mary Lou Renton doing an ad on Ambrin. Congratulations, Ambrin, for your advertisement for you. Not sponsored, but I was like, okay, when Mary Lou Renton talks about menopause pills, that's when you know you're kind of like hitting a new stage in your life. And I think Gen Xers, because we haven't been marketed to, I think we also have a false sense of our age.
We got to be marketed by that. I mean, there's no way the pharmaceuticals are letting us slide under the radar. There's no way.
Let anybody slide under the radar.
Exactly. Like, they've got to be targeting something. But I don't know why. Obviously, I'm not paying attention because I don't take anything. So
I think the cosmetic industry as well.
Oh, yeah.
For
the aging.
The, yep. Yeah. The pumpers and the injectables. Yeah.
But that's a female, I think, issue, not so much a Gen X. I don't think that's a generational. I think that's a pure female thing.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Botox. Love me my Botox. But
I keep telling you don't need it. I'm sorry?
Is everybody doing it?
I'm not. Are you?
Like, no.
No.
I'm freckled. No. I should be doing it.
Why?
I'm going down the blaze of glory.
You look great, babe.
I don't want any needles near me.
It's a two each his own. And I think that's the thing about the Gen Xers. I think we do admit more. We're, I think, a little bit more open as a generation than the previous, right? Previous boomers would never admit that they got fillers or whatever. Gen Xers are now open. Millennials are like the opposite. They're like wide open book to the point you're like, yeah, can you shut that door a little bit? Like, we don't need to hear about it.
You love hearing about all of my crazy.
I know. I do. Well, I kind of share it. I kind of contribute too. Yeah. So.
Well, that's how they started. They have their unicorn frappuccinos. It's right on Instagram. Why not share everything else?
Well,
that's the world that they are, is their norm.
And that is, okay, so social media, the whole world and concept of it. To me, initially, before we started doing this whole podcasting and marketing and digital media marketing and all that, as a non-person in that field, I just feel social media in general is very narcissistic. Again, how many pictures of your stupid unicorn frappuccino, which thank God I think they pulled that damn
product. They're just coming out with different ones. Yeah. It's not gone. And it's the caramel frappuccino is just as many calories as that thing, by the way. Well, keep going,
I don't drink that either. Yeah. But anyway, but what I'm saying, though, is that...
Are you getting forgetful over there, Gen Xer?
Yep, she is.
I need to take some ginkgo biloba now.
Social media, narcissistic.
Oh, yeah. No, I think our generation hasn't been so self-absorbed in that. And the way we look. The whole, I just saw the other day that on TikTok, apparently these kids are, these mostly women, but it could be gentlemen as well, are doing makeup from the late 1990s, 2000s. And so they are literally doing the makeup. Like, apparently it was, like, really glittery back in the early 2000s.
So you're saying it looks good? Is that what you're saying?
Talking about turquoise sparkle?
Well, so they
I had, like, good. Big cat eyes for eyeliner. Remember
I have
that?
Cat eyes now.
I'm, what like, you, I'm no. like, what are you talking about? I still do.
No, like, I'm talking very extensive cat eyes. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, well, so that's all. It is interesting that you have, like, oh, here's me before, and then here's me after. And they were, like, doing all the 90s poses, you know, like the Peace all that stuff.
You guys, that was 20 years ago.
Not yet. 19 years, okay? Don't age us. Okay, that being said, though, that was when Britney Spears was all popular and whatnot. Yep. And I'm looking at that, and I was reading that. It was on Reddit, and I saw the comments, and this one person goes, "We never contoured." That was their only comment. And I'm like, but you did everything else, like from a makeup standpoint. But
that was true. I mean, true. We didn't know about contouring back then.
Well, because we didn't need to put 20 pounds of makeup on our faces.
We contouring. See, but so it's contouring. So my mom actually taught me about contouring.
Kim Kardashian situation.
But we knew. So there's my mom went to modeling school. That's how she knew. So she would teach me how to make my nose look small. This is mom is not that shallow, but she would teach. Sounds so bad. Like, but I was paranoid about my mom, and she's like, about my nose. And my mom would be like, oh, you can make it look smaller by contour, like just different ways of how you shadow and contour. You could totally do that. It wasn't as accessible to us as it is now. You had to go to makeup school or had to go through all that to be able to do it. Now, I mean, you could do anything, hair, anything to learn. Everything's at your fingertips with YouTube.
Yeah, no. But then again, that goes back to the technology being an enabler. YouTube, I think, is one of the best inventions ever because you now can get tutorials on makeup. For me as a homeowner, as a Gen Xer, I don't care about makeup. I care about having to fix my toilet and how to like not spend $1,000 on a plumber. No, nothing wrong with plumbers. But if I can do it myself, or if I can fix my own washer and dryer for a $150 part versus buying a brand new $5,000, you know, combo series thingy, because you have to have matching washer and dryer, apparently. And of course, I was not educated on that.
How dare you?
I know. Well, I think it's because I think it's that practicality of our older that generation that, or maybe because I didn't grow up affluent either. I didn't have disposable income like that. But I see other generations, some are like, yeah, just spend it, let's go. And others that are actually trying to go grassroots. So each generation has its own hippie dip roots in some, and then others are opposite. So I don't know. I use the word millennial and Gen X very loosely, but there's also a balance between the two, right? Look at our politics, right? The millennials did come out in the 20s or in their 20s during the Gulf War, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a very big push for peace. Because, right, that's when the hippie revival came into play. Fast forward 20 years, we've got a very, bipolar political climate. Yep. Well, Gen Xers, even though we're a small generation, we're a very critical voting bloc.
I mean, all the clothing for my 90s gals here was from Contempo Casuals, remember?
I love that store.
And I had all the peace signs, and then I had these cute little shorts from Gadzooks.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone?
Jacket from Gadzooks. I used to work at Gadzooks. Just saying. And the
Jealous.
Buckle. I was the buckle girl. It was pretty important in my hometown from the buckle.
I had all the peace signs, and then I wore it to a Wednesday church potluck, and the pastor was like, no. So the next garage sale, I had to get rid of all my peace shirts. Thanks, Pastor Dave.
Because it was peace, for real? What was ungodly about peace?
That's a whole other podcast and therapy, but that denomination believed that the peace sign stood for the devil, which in no way was my intent. I'm like, oh, I just spent my $20 at Contempo Casuals. It was very exciting. And he mentioned that stood for the devil.
Really? So, yeah, because God, I mean, devil was definitely peace and God was definitely war, so.
That's what they taught me in Catholic school, too.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, I just got rid of them at the next garage sale. Aww. And I was raised by the silent generation, much older silent generation, very, very strict upbringing.
Wow. Hey, you may have had to destroy your peace symbol, but at least your symbol of a reverse swastika hasn't been reappropriated for all things evil. So
that's true.
There you go. Yeah. No, I didn't have any idea. As a kid, I was like, would draw the Buddha symbol and all. And I got a talking to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. That's always fun to discover as a child.
Not our intent.
Okay. So as we're talking about our society, our place in society today, We don't care about being marketed to as a very unofficial vote here in this room. We don't care about that.
I mean, I kind of care about it just because of the fact that sometimes with my crazy life, and I'm sure, you know, you guys are the same, but I may not realize that there's an easier way or something maybe that's better that I'm missing out on. So sometimes it's better for me because it saves me from having to go out and do the research. Because somehow, somewhere, I thought it and it picked up on my brain waves and now it's shown up in an ad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that. I guess, you know, partly I agree with you. I'm not too concerned about being marketed to. However, I do, as a woman, now that I've hit my 40s, I would like to be reflected in more places. So I don't know if I'm contradicting myself there, but I want to make sure that I've been seen. And I remember in my 20s and 30s not thinking it was an issue. And now that I'm in my 40s, I can see a little bit more, I wouldn't say ageism, but maybe there's a gentle ageism there and I want to be reflected more.
I feel like, yeah, that maybe kind of be like a decade that's kind of lost in marketing.
Yeah. I just look at it like I'm so jaded. Like I'm so anti-medicine, all this stuff that I can think of like wanting or like that would be marketing. I'm just like, leave me alone because I don't believe your BS anyway. However, there are still things that, yeah, like to your point, like, oh, I didn't know. I'm trying to think of like a good advertisement I've seen. Nothing lately. But there's been a couple things like online, like even Instagram or something that I'll be like, oh, but I really don't think they're targeting me because I'm a Gen Xer specifically. It's probably more of my interest base that I'm really getting, you know, intrigued by it. But no, I really don't want reverse mortgages coming at me in a couple more years. I really don't want, you know what I mean? Like all these things. Like I'm just like, yeah, I mean, like I said, depends.
You too can make it all yeah. the way to Florida.
Yes, exactly. So I guess I'm just sitting there going, well, what is it that I want? I really don't care if I get paid attention to.
Do you think that is what we're going through is the youthification of our society? So as Gary Vee says, there's more 40-year-old moms who are on Instagram taking selfies than ever before. And that's where we relate to more interest-based advertising and not age-based. So I think it might just come down to we don't see ourselves as getting older. We see ourselves as the same. We see ourselves as 20-year-olds.
Yeah. Like, look at this table. All of us in our 40s and nobody has a mom cut.
Well, I'm not in my 40s.
Oh, you're not. I'm sorry. But no, I'm not trying to offend you.
We hear you.
Wait. For the first time ever, Leslie was like whispering, I'm not in my 40s.
I'm like, why are you trying to hit me up?
No, I just was like pointing to the table, but like, we don't have any mom cuts going on. Like, I'm not going to like be forced into this is what you have to do because you're a certain age.
Well, I think it's interesting, right? Because with that, you've got, you know, everybody's living longer. Everybody's in better health nowadays than we've ever been before.
True.
And so I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, people started having kids at later ages. You know, people started kind of, yeah, I mean, you look at the millennial generation, we're finally starting to really get into real estate, really get into having kiddos. You know, a lot are finally starting to get married now. So, and I think you see that as like, hey, everything kind of got pushed back. And so, yeah, I think it has to do with kind of all of society, right? Even my friends that are in their 50s, like, they're like, hey, you know, I'm out here playing beach volleyball all the time, like mountain biking, you know, doing 50 some odd miles every day. And I'm like, holy moly, I want to be you when I grow up, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's right. The big difference between Gen X and the millennials is we worked hard. The Gen Xers worked very hard, saved all their money or saving as much as possible right now for an earlier retirement, whereas the boomers are just working and working, which to some degree, I don't know if Gen Xers really are bothered as much as they all. We also didn't have 20,000 kids. I think we're the smallest generation to procreate. Yep. I think we're non-procreating. I mean, look at the room right now. You know, Becca and I do not.
I've got a dog.
And we have doggies.
Fur babies. Too.
We have fur babies.
Fur babies.
But look at the millennials. They want to YOLO, right? Yep. They're not focused on their careers. They're focused on experiences. They actually are the first generation to have less than the previous generations, income as well as material goods. They're buying less homes. There's less economy, if you will, in the traditional sense. But in the leisure economy, it's gone up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as far as travel and everything else goes, restaurants, yeah, I mean, all those kind of like experiential type things. Millennials are driving those markets a lot of the times.
But is it?
Well, not on the higher end, right? So they're staying more at cheaper. Marriott's yep. and everything else versus the Four Seasons, right?
Hey, hey, Marriott is yeah, nice. Yeah,
Marriott
in Asia.
Is nice. It's not like the Courtyard.
Well, I mean, you know, but yeah, that's like, okay, they're staying at the Courtyard. Sorry, right with the Courtyard. I'm
like, and some courtyards are really nice.
I'm at the La Quinta with my 125-pound dog. It's the only place we could go.
I'm like, I don't know where to go.
Oh, wait, it's the millennials who
Starbucks.
It's the millennials who created the tiny house movement. Okay, that they're living in boxes. Okay,
so with a Great Dane.
Yeah,
typically. But you know what? I'm jealous of that because I mean, I've gone through like a whole huge sweep of my house, and I can't tell you how much crap. Okay, VHS tapes. Oh, do you know how many VHS tapes I have that just take up space? And I'm like, why did I buy so many VHS tapes?
Because we didn't have a repository. It was the only way. Yeah, it was the only way.
I know, but still, movies I could have cared less about. I was like, oh, I want to see this movie, so I'm going to buy the VHS tape instead of. And it's just like I have so much stuff because. And I just wish, I'm like, God, I wish somebody would have like, I wish I would have been a millennial in this case that I wouldn't have all this stuff, supposedly, because all the money wasted that is just literally worth $0 right now in garbage, taking up space in my house. I feel like we finally are learning that. The kids nowadays are learning that. And I'm very happy about that because it is such a stupid waste of money.
Wait, yeah. Wait a second. I did just sell a Buns of Steel VHS tape what? To Half Price bookstores.
Do they? I have Abs of Steel.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I have Buns of Steel. I wasn't ready to let it go. So I did take an Instagram photo.
There you go.
Before I let it go. But what's interesting is the senior population that's downsizing to independent living, senior living communities, they are using senior moving real estate experts. And as they do, what are those estate sales?
Yeah.
They're actually struggling to sell off the stuff because the next generation doesn't want more stuff or doesn't understand the niceties
value.
Of the value. Thank mm-hmm. you. The value of their belongings. And so it's getting trashed.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think we can keep talking about this all night long.
Yeah.
But we all have lives that someone who decided to have children in this room.
Well, I have to go to a marriage thing, so that's what I have to do.
Oh, that's the other thing. So, again, a Gen Xer
thing. To
save
my marriage. After one divorce. I don't want a second divorce. Yeah. What was that?
I said, I've got a guy for that.
Okay, yeah. But I'm just saying, I'm working on my marriage, but micro, if you want to come around, we can talk. Just saying.
You know, Aaron, for as long as we've known each other, we've never fought over anyone except Mike Rowe. Like, that's the only one that we both were like.
Guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you guys, thank you so much for your time, Leslie, Becca. I think generational conversations, yes, it's all very stereotypical at times, but we are living it. And I do think it does affect innovation, how it affects the way we look at our world and future. So I think I look forward to many more conversations around this in the future with you guys. So thank you for joining us. Aaron, do you have any comments?
I don't. This has been a fun conversation.
It actually has been. Thank you very much.
Should we go around real quick? Who's your favorite Gen Xer? Like, who do you look up to the most from a Gen X perspective? Do you have anybody? Is it too quick?
Okay. Well, no, I don't.
No.
Well, I'm a music person. So Thom Yorke from Radiohead, I've always adored the way that band has put their things together. They're very much a collaborative effort. And just Thom Yorke is just a weirdo. And I gravitate towards folks that are not comfortable with being around people that are comfortable with themselves, regardless of they're around people or not. And that's why I love Radiohead. And all their music is amazing. And if you don't like Radiohead, we cannot be friends.
Leslie, do you have one?
Well, I'm actually going to pick my favorite millennial right now.
Oh, God.
Get to the question.
I know.
You
know,
I gotta
throw a little
That's
bit
the next
of
podcast.
Whitney, CEO and founder of Bumble.
Okay.
She's done some really cool things. I mean, started out with, what do you call it? The other one, Tinder.
Tinder.
Yeah. Went over, left Ooh. Tinder.
There's some dramas with her, by the way.
She's about to have a baby, or she did have
she
a baby.
No, there were some dramas with her Russian investor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he owns 60% of her business.
Yep. Yeah. There's some news. Yeah, he's shady. Anyway.
Because he does all of her tech, too. Well,
allegedly.
So I'll go music, too, but mine is Jay-Z. But not because of music, but because of, I'm telling you guys, if you've never read Decoded, read freaking Decoded, because it's a great story of how he's a pure entrepreneur. And it was, he got denied on the music and they were like, so he made his own label. I just think I love him and Sarah Blakely from a female perspective.
Mm. Love Sarah. I love following her on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
She's phenomenal. I don't know if I have a favorite one. I'm thinking about it here, who I see, and I have to throw it out there. I hate being like this, but I'll say Gary Vaynerchuk.
I was just going to say, don't say Gary Vaynerchuk. I was trying to message that to you.
I'm trying to think, like, is it Guy Raz? How old is he? I don't know who my favorite Gen Xer is, but I will say that this is the first thought that comes to my head, is that I love that he promotes the hybrid of generations, to have the baby boomers working with the Gen Zs, the millennials, using the wisdom plus the understanding of social, whatever it is, together in corporate America and blending the generations. And that's one of his messages, is to keep, you know, everybody working together.
All right.
So I was going to really quickly Google here for Mike Rowe and petition for him as my favorite, just to rub it in. But because you guys made me feel very shallow here. You guys are all talking about business successful people, and I'm like, Radiohead. Anyway, on that note, unfortunately, Micro does not qualify. He is considered boomer.
Ooh, that makes me feel a little dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the older man there, huh? Okay, on that note, yeah, I think that wraps up another unofficial Innovation Council. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.